Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's going on, fellow fantasy managers? Welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler. It's the weekend, so as always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of this weekend edition of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Friday, April 26th. We will start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. You know, always got to start it off with the bad news. Starting pitcher Jesus Luzardo was placed on the 15-day IL with left elbow soreness. It's always scary when a player hits the IL with an elbow-related issue, so we'll be holding our collective breath for Luzardo's quick return. The Marlins' rotation depth will be tested as they'll transition Sixto Sanchez into a starting role. That will be must-watch TV. In terms of transactions, second baseman Ozzie Albies was activated from the 10-day IL. He somehow missed only a couple of weeks with a fractured right big toe. Albies will return to batting and playing second in a dangerous Braves lineup. Albies made his presence felt in his return with two hits as he led his team to a victory. Starting pitcher J.P. France is expected to be optioned to AAA ahead of the Astros series in Mexico. France's demotion would be in preparation for the return of Framber Valdez, who's expected to return from the IL and start the second game of the Mexico City series. In terms of fantasy, I don't think I'm starting anyone in that bandbox. Designated hitter J.D. Martinez was recalled from the minors and made his 2024 and Mets debuts. Martinez had a late start to the season after signing at the last minute with the Mets, and he showed out in front of the home fans in his debut, collecting two hits, including a double. DJ Stewart will see his playing time plummet as Martinez earns everyday at-bats at DH. In similar news, outfielder Tommy Pham was recalled from the minors and made his 2024 and White Sox debut. Pham was in the same situation as Martinez, a last-minute signing with a delayed start. He was a difference maker for the White Sox, though, as he led them to just their fourth win in 26 tries by producing a pair of base hits. Pham should be fired up to play well so he can earn himself a trade deadline get-out-of-jail-free card so that he can join a contender and get out of that White Sox team. In pretty wild news, second baseman Jackson Holliday of the Orioles was optioned to AAA. It comes as no surprise, though, as the number one overall prospect in baseball failed to live up to lofty expectations in his first major league stint. Holliday batted 059 with a 50% strikeout rate and a negative 52 WRC plus in 10 games. Those are absolutely putrid numbers for sure. But don't let Holliday's slow start affect your perception of the caliber of his bat. He'll be back at some point, and I think he should be rostered universally if he's playing every day in that Baltimore lineup. In his absence, though, Jordan Westberg will shift to second while Ramon Urias sees most of the time at the hot corner. In terms of news, starting pitcher Cody Bradford will be out for at least another month after it was discovered that he has a very small quote-unquote stress fracture in his 12th right rib. It might be time to let him go, though, if you have limited IL slots. I don't think he's going to be that good this year, and it doesn't sound like he's going to be back for a while. Third baseman Anthony Rendon has a high-grade partial tear of his hamstring. The injuries don't stop for that guy. It seems like this will be an extended absence for the oft-injured third baseman, so it might be time to cut him if he's on your team, and the Anthony Rendon saga continues. First baseman Tristan Casas said he didn't fracture a rib, but rather suffered torn cartilage in his rib cage. The return timeline varies widely in length, ranging from anywhere between 3 to 9 weeks to begin rehabbing. So this will be a wait and see situation for Casas. We might be in for a long ride here. And lastly, sad news, starting pitcher Wade Miley will undergo Tommy John surgery. It's a tough blow this early into the season for Miley, who's usually a reliably healthy pitcher. He'll be out until after the 2025 All-Star break at the earliest. And now we'll check out our notable performances from Friday, a day in which we had a full slate of 14 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Brandon Marsh in San Diego as he helped the Phillies to a win, going 3-for-5 with a run, a home run, a double, and 3 runs batted in. He's up to 6 home runs now, and this one traveled 385 feet with a 105.8 mile per hour exit velocity. Marsh is tough for me to figure out. He doesn't play every day as the member of a strong side platoon in left field, but when he's in the lineup, he's usable in fantasy. It makes Marsh difficult to deploy in lineups, though, where you set your lineup weekly because he might sit twice a week. He's a great streamer in daily leagues, though, and is already halfway to his homer total from last year. It looks like he's being more aggressive as he's cut his walk rate in half, but it's paid off as he's leading baseball in hard hit rate. That would be an interesting development if Marsh didn't strike out so much. He's literally at like 33% of the time. He'll continue to be relegated to a platoon role, though, and will have his ceiling limited by all of the punch outs. So I think he's pretty rosterable in 12-team leagues, but I don't think it has to be your team if he doesn't fit your roster. Blake Perkins helped the Brewers to a win versus the Yankees, going 1-for-2 with a run, a home run, and 2 runs batted in. He's up to 3 home runs now, and this one traveled 391 feet with a 100.7 mile per hour exit velocity. Perkins has come out of nowhere and looked like a star following his 67-game debut in 2023. I'm not really buying it, though. On one hand, he's playing every day and is batting 313 with a 921 OPS. But on the other hand, he's got a 386 BABIP, and he doesn't hit the ball hard at all. I think Perkins might only be viable in leagues 15 teams and deeper. Once his BABIP comes down to earth, he'll settle in as a 240 hitter with 10 home run, 10 steal potential. It's not the greatest, but in deep leagues, having guys that are playing can be valuable in itself. And lastly, we have Eloy Jimenez versus the Rays, who helped the White Sox to just their 4th win, going 1-for-4 with a run, a home run, and 2 runs batted in. He also walked. He's up to 3 home runs now, and this one traveled 410 feet with a 108.2 mile per hour exit velocity. Is it time to give up on Eloy? He touted so much potential early in his career, but has seen recent seasons derailed by injuries. Even worse, Jimenez's production at the plate has fallen off in concert with those injuries. Now he finds himself in one of the worst lineups imaginable and has already hit the IL once this year. I wouldn't go dropping him just yet. I think I'm still not ready to give up on his potential. Jimenez could also be a trade candidate if he picks things up at the plate, which could land him in a better situation for the second half. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable hitting performances from Friday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances, opening with Seth Lugo in Detroit as he earned the win, tossing 7 scoreless innings, allowing just 3 hits and 2 walks while striking out 9 batters. Lugo induced 13 whiffs with a 35% CSW across 103 pitches. And Lugo recorded whiffs across 6 different pitches as he worked his Toby Magic to deflate the Tigers' bats. This was a situation where the Tigers were too passive, allowing Lugo to steal plenty of called strikes with his dual heaters, earning CSW marks north of 40% on both his four-seamer and his sinker. Then he turned to his big hook for whiffs as it led his arsenal with 4 on the night. This outing continues a torrid stretch for Lugo. He's only had 1 start this year in which he surrendered more than 2 runs, and this scoreless outing lowered Lugo's ERA to 1.66, which is a top 10 mark in baseball. I don't believe Lugo is anything more than a Toby, though, in the midst of a Vargas rule. His command is pristine, and he's had some easy matchups, but he'll still be a guy with a limited ceiling due to his lack of strikeouts. Tonight's 9 were an outlier caused by the Tigers being passive, and Lugo heads north of the border for his next start, and I'm sort of hesitant to say keep it rolling. This Vargas rule will end at some point. Kyle Harrison helped the Giants to a win versus the Pirates. He took a no decision, but he tossed 6 shutout innings, allowing just 5 hits while walking nobody. He struck out 7 with 13 whiffs and a 30% CSW across 93 pitches. And I was actually at this game there for Cal Night with my family. It was a really awesome game, especially with the walk-off, a scoreless game throughout up until the bottom of the 9th inning. We got a 3-run home run. It was super exciting. It might be the only walk-off I've ever been to, but nonetheless, it was a great game to have attended, and Harrison looked great, but it sort of felt weird. He didn't command his pitches, his stuff wasn't overpowering, and it didn't necessarily perform well, despite what the line would make you think. Harrison's heater returned 7 whiffs, but it also went for just 20% CSW, as it was constantly fouled off. Weirdly, his changeup was featured more often than his breaker, and it didn't do well with a sub 19% CSW. Meanwhile, all the Pirates could do was stare at his slurve. 10 of its 16 offerings landed for called strikes, while half of the remaining 6 were swung and missed at. I'm not sure why he didn't turn to that pitch more often, but it kept them off guard and got the job done. This pitch literally had an 80% CSW. That's like unheard of. I'm still not sold on Harrison, as he doesn't command his pitches well enough or have the stuff to avoid loud contact. And Harrison will head to Boston for his next start, and I think I'm going to avoid that. Unless that slurve has another 80% CSW adding, that'd be crazy. And lastly, we have Quinn Priester on the other side of that game, as he took a no decision despite the Pirates' loss. He tossed 6 scoreless innings of his own, allowing just 3 hits and a walk while striking out 6. Priester induced 14 whiffs with a 35% CSW across 84 pitches, and this was the best start of Priester's young career. I got a good look at him opposite Harrison. Priester had some beautifully commanded sliders down and glove side, and the pitch was reliable all night with 6 whiffs and 35% CSW. The 2019 first-round pick has a 5-pitch arsenal that lacks a true standout pitch. With a complete repertoire, Priester can take down both righties and lefties. However, he won't be much of a fantasy asset if he doesn't have a put-away pitch. If the slider he displayed on Friday sticks, he may have found that pitch. After this performance, I might take a chance that Priester is getting comfortable in the bigs as he heads to Oakland for his next start. But if you'd like a breakdown of literally every single start from Friday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily starting pitcher roundup over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Mason Miller continues to look like the best closer in baseball as he recorded his 7th save of the year with a perfect 10th. Ryan Helsley notched his 8th save with a perfect 9th in Queens. Kyle Finnegan secured his 8th save as well with a perfect 9th in Miami. Kirby Yates further defied age by locking down his 4th save following a perfect 9th. The Twins turned to Caleb Thielbar despite 3 righties due up in the 9th. Both Griffin Jacks and Brock Stewart had pitched on back-to-back days, so this was a situation where Thielbar was the next man up. This was just the 2nd save of his career, and I don't think Thielbar will be mixing into the closer role anytime soon, especially with Yoan Duran due back next week. In terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Craig Kimbrell finally slipped. We knew it would happen eventually, but I never thought it'd come against the A's. Kimbrell blew a 1-run lead in the 9th, causing extra innings where the Orioles would go on to lose. Camilo Doval pitched the 9th and earned a win when David Bednar surrendered a walk-off home run to Patrick Bailey to break a scoreless game. It was absolutely electric. That stadium was so loud. Michael Kopech pitched the 8th with a 4-run lead as the White Sox brought out the big guns early to secure their 4th win. And lastly, Clay Holmes pitched the 9th in a tie game, and he kept it that way. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable relief pitching performances from Friday, check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we are going to take a quick break. And now we'll look forward to Saturday, April 27th, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. Remember, we've got that game in Mexico with the Astros taking on the Rockies. My matchup of the day, though, is Edward Cabrera versus Mitchell Parker. Now that Cabrera is fully stretched out and facing a weak lineup in Washington, I want to see what his ceiling truly looks like. On the other side, Parker just took down the Dodgers and the Astros, and now can breathe easy against the Marlins, and maybe he goes off here as well. In terms of probable starters, we've got 5 guys in our auto start tier, including Tyler Glasnow in Toronto, George Kirby versus the Diamondbacks, and Sonny Gray in Queens. Our probably starts tier has 10 guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Casey Mize versus the Royals. Mize should come through as he gets familiar with the AL Central following his long injury absence. I'd also keep an eye out for Jose Soriano versus the Twins. He has an upper 90 sinker with solid breaking pitches, and he could be a breakout this year as a reliever turned starter, and I'm pretty excited for the start. In terms of hitter suggestions, I say all the Astros and the Rockies you can get your hands on. They'll be playing the first of 2 games in Mexico City. That stadium is like Coors Field on steroids. The elevation is ridiculous, and balls have flown out of there regularly in past iterations of the series. The pitching matchup there is Ronel Blanco versus Cal Quantrill. I am praying for Cal in this one. I'd also target Cardinals hitters versus Adrian Houser. His ERA is over 7. Alec Burleson homered today and will get the start against a righty. And Nolan Gorman already has a home run against Houser in his career. Maybe he can add one more. And I will close things out with our relievers to watch. Mason Miller has pitched on back-to-back days, so any one of Lucas Erceg, Danny Jimenez, or Austin Adams could get a save chance today if one arises. And lastly, Kyle Finnegan has pitched on consecutive days, so Hunter Harvey will get the 9th today. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with Pitcherlist staff like myself and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.